Good morning. Good to have everyone a warm welcome. And it's good to have our brother Andrew with us. And really believe that God's going to speak to people this morning. God's going to touch people. Praise God. And I really believe it that our brother's got someone from the Lord. And I want our brother Andrew just to come and preach whatever's on his heart. I want him to take his liberty and feel free in the house of the Lord. And you pull on the gift God has sent amongst us. Pull on it. And whatever your heart desires, I believe God can answer this morning. God can meet your need. And I'm not going to take no time. I want a brother to come ahead and take his liberty. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Good morning, everyone. It's always a blessing, always a privilege to come to Ireland to meet you, have the fellowship with you. I always enjoy it. And trusting that the Lord will bless us this morning and speak to the hearts of the people. I don't come just to see the people, or that's nice to do. But I just come because I feel I have something to share from the Word of God. And we just believe that and trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts this morning. There's one thing that's certain wherever you go, and whoever you meet and fellowship with, that we're a needy people. And only God can meet that need. And he promised to do it, so we just want to receive from him everything he's got for us today. I would exhort you today that, as Brother Tommy just mentioned a moment ago, is to pull on God. But if you just feel that quickening, you sense that presence, just, you know, grab it. You just grab that promise, say it's mine, and I just claim it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that really sometimes we miss God so many times. And when the Spirit of God's trying to move on people, trying to deal with people, it can sometimes be so gentle and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, so simple that we can very often miss it. And you ever hear Brother Branham when he's talking and having the prayer lines and so forth, he would be under discernment there and say, oh, the Holy Spirit's there, and oh, they're going to miss it. So we have to just, you know, we don't want to be a people that miss God. We want to be a people that receive and pull from whatever God's got for us today. And I want everything God's got, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I don't want to miss anything that God's got for me. I just want to receive every blessing, everything the Lord's got for my life. I want it. Amen. And I want to walk in it, praise the Lord. I don't want to be, you know, the Bible tells us that the devil's a robber. And he came to steal, so he doesn't want you to walk in what God's got for you. He doesn't want you to enjoy the blessings that God has for your life. And he just wants to take from you everything he can take from you and just make your life really thoroughly miserable. But you know, we want to be a victorious people, even in times of hardship and even in times of difficulty. We want to be a people that have a victory.
Amen.
The scripture says, Paul speaking there, thanks be unto God which always causes us to triumph. I think the correct translation of that verse is always leads us in triumph. So we always ought to be a triumphant people, praise the Lord.
Amen.
So while we're standing, I guess should we just bow our heads for a moment of prayer before we turn to the scriptures and share something from the Word of God. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we just appreciate this time. We appreciate this opportunity that has been, you've ordained, you've allotted for us to come, Lord, to this place. And Father, we know that all things are in your hands, Lord. Everything's planned, Lord. The Word of God says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And Lord, we believe for your children that our steps are ordered by you, Lord. And so you've brought us here today. We pray, oh God, speak to hearts, Lord. Touch hearts today. Lord, I pray that God, you just break every barrier down, Father. Every chain, Lord. Every opposition of hindrance the enemy would seek to place in our way, Lord. Let it be removed, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Help us to receive all that you have for us today. We thank you, Lord, we can come before you with a confidence and with a boldness, Lord, that is given to us through the precious blood of Jesus. Your word has said, having boldness to enter the holiest through the blood of Jesus. And we know, Lord, that we're accepted in you, Father, because of what you've done for us. And so today, God, we pray that you'll meet with us, Lord. God, your presence will come down in a very real way, in a very special way, and touch hearts today. Speak to our hearts and encourage us along the way, that as we go from this place, we might be able to say in our hearts that it was good that we were here, Lord, and that, Lord, it was good in our hearts that burn within us, Lord, as your Spirit ministered to our hearts today. grant that, Father, we pray. We know in ourselves and we know in our own strength and we know in our own ability that we can do absolutely nothing. We're powerless, God. So we wait on the one that has the power. We look to the one that gives the power. Father, the scripture says power belongeth unto God.
Yes.
And so, Father, today, oh God, we just pray that you'll indeed be pleased to move amongst us, Father. We invite you, as my brother just a few moments ago said, and ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your name will be glorified. Above all things, we pray that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, I guess while we're standing, should we turn to the scriptures? Let's go to the book of Philippians. I'm just going to read one verse from the book of Philippians, but I'm going to be referring to some scriptures as we go along this morning. I want to speak on a little subject called the storms of our life. Amen, the storms of our life. One thing's for certain, if you're a child of God, you're going to get storms. There's no way to avoid it. Praise the Lord. So let's look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. The scripture says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless his word. Please take your seats. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like that scripture. You know, always when I speak or preach from the epistles of Paul, I always feel kind of, I'm not doing them justice. And I don't guess you could ever do those epistles justice, because there's just so much in them. There's so much depth, there's so much, even in one verse there, you could spend almost a lifetime speaking on it, the great truths that are in those things. And even this little verse here that we read there, Paul saying that, being confident, I like that word there, confident. You see, Paul had the confidence of God. Now there's a confidence that isn't right, and that's the confidence of self. We don't certainly want to have confidence in our own self, our own abilities, our own, what we can do. But we certainly, we want the confidence of God.
Amen.
And I believe there's a scripture also tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, I believe it is. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. The scripture says, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. You see, there is a confidence that God gives. And that confidence is translated as a boldness, as an assurance that we can come into the presence of God, that we can lay hold of the promises of God, that we don't have to be fearful. And that's the great thing that really troubles so many Christians today, is the spirit of fear that gets on people's lives and gets on people's minds and really causes them to fail. We don't want to be a people that are people that have that kind of fear. We want the fear of God, to respect the things of God, but we don't want to be afraid, that kind of fear that literally drives us away from God. And it's an amazing thing, but it's quite a common thing among so many Christians today, is that fear. And of course the Bible tells us that fear is a spirit. And you know, Jesus came to cast out those spirits. We've been given authority as the children of God. We've been given authority as the people of God to cast out demons. The first thing that Jesus gave to his church was power over devils, to cast devils out. We're ever going to get anywhere, we've got to be a people that are casting devils out. And we've been given the authority to do that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, we've been given the authority by Jesus Christ himself. Now we look at the ministry and say, well, that's just for the preacher, that's just for the pastor, that's just for the evangelist or whoever it might be. But God gave his church, praise the Lord,
Amen.
God gave his people, his children,
Amen.
That power, that authority to cast out devils. And when those things come in your own life and you've been given an authority to speak against those things and to cast those things out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I believe we're coming to a time that the Church of Jesus Christ is going to have to get to a place where it recognizes just who she is, and we start to take that authority against the kingdom of Satan.
Amen.
That we take that authority over the kingdom of Satan. It's no good coming to church just to say, well, let's hear what the preacher's going to tell us this morning. That's good, that's okay, but you've got to have that in your own life, in your own personal walk, that when you come to church, you've opened the door already for God to speak, for God to minister, and for God to move. Praise be to God. It's not just all on the platform there. It's the people of God. And we want to be using the authority that God has given us over the powers of the enemy. Now, I'm sure we realize the devil's real. And I'm sure we realize that his kingdom and his power is real. But we've got a greater power and we've got a more real power than the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So we need to be a people that really rise up and start to take this authority that's been given to us. You know, my dad used to say many years ago that God could do no more for us than he's already done. But the trick is that we've got to come into that place where we understand this, where we have that understanding and revelation that of just who we are and what we are in Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. But we do have the confidence of God. Amen. So Paul was speaking there about that confidence. He said, now what God's begun, he's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, I absolutely believe that what God begins in a life, he's going to finish.
Amen.
He doesn't start and then just say, you know what? I think I made a mistake. I just can't complete that work. What God starts in your life and what he starts in my life, he's going to complete it. He's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's nothing going to stop that. There's nothing going to stop that from coming to pass. What God has purposed in your life and what God has for your life, he's going to bring to pass. You know, we can have that kind of confidence in God. We can have that kind of assurance in God that what God has got is started, he's going to finish. Praise be to God. But I'm speaking to you this morning on the subject of the storms of our lives. Now, I believe that what God starts, amen, he's going to finish. But what goes on in between very often depends on you and me. Now, we often make the statement saying, well, we're predestinated. It's all in the hands of God. Well, yes, God predestinates, but you know, he also gives us choice.
Yes.
Amen. I made a statement once in a church. I said, I want to ask you a question. Could Cain have been saved? Kind of raised a few eyebrows. But you know, God spoke to Cain.
Yes,
and said, if thou doest well,
right,
you're going to be accepted.
Yes.
God did not predestinate Cain to be lost. God did not predestinate anybody to be lost, but he knows who will and who won't. Praise the Lord. But everybody, every human being, every person that's ever born on this earth is given a choice. And there's nothing forced there. We have a choice. We can, now, in life, we're going to make the right decisions, but we're also going to make some wrong decisions. But ultimately, if our life is in the hands of God, God has predestinated us, praise the Lord, and he's going to bring us through. So he's even going to use the wrong choices to his glory. He's even going to use the choices that we make, which are not right or incorrect, and maybe wanting to go our own way some way. But he can even bring that around to being to his glory there. Praise the Lord. But you know, we're given a choice. The greatest thing God ever gave right at the beginning there, he gave man that choice. He didn't come down and force man not to serve him there, or force man not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was given a choice. And that choice still remains for each one of us. We have a choice what we're going to do. We have a choice in the decisions we're going to make. Like I say, some of those decisions are going to be right, and some of those decisions are going to be wrong. We're just going to have to live with the consequences of that. But ultimately, God is going to bring us through it all. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what God has begun, he's going to finish. I look at the life of Abraham, and it's such a perfect illustration there, how that God called Abraham to come out of Ur of the Chaldees there over into the land of promise. But even after God had called Abraham, and we see this in his life there, Abraham made some choices.
Yes,
he made some right choices. He followed God.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Abraham started his work by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we serve, when we come to God, we come by faith. It's not your faith. It's not my faith. It's the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not something that we can... I've often said, you know, faith is something that God gives. It's not something we can produce. If I was to tell you this morning to have faith, now we make that statement very often, say to have faith, but really, faith can only come as God gives it to you. Now, we can make a choice to believe or not to believe. Amen. Now, that's something we can choose to do. I can choose this morning whether I want to believe the Word of God or whether I don't want to believe the Word of God. You can choose this morning whether you want to believe the Word of God or whether you don't want to believe the Word of God. That's a choice thing that we're given. But believing isn't faith. Faith will bring you to believing, but faith is something that God gives.
Amen.
But when God says it, it's coming to pass anyway. I mean, you know, when God says something, it's coming to pass whether you believe it or not.
Amen.
Amen. That's how great the faith of God is.
Amen.
That's how powerful. See, faith is such a supernatural power that we really, if we had faith all the time, we'd be dangerous. You understand what I'm saying? If we have faith all that, you know, Jesus said the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain.
Yes.
And tell it to be cast into the sea, it would do it. So if we had faith all of the time, it would be dead. Now we can believe all the time, You understand?
Yes.
We can believe all the time. We should be a believing people, but faith is something God gives to you supernaturally, as and when it's required.
Amen.
Say if somebody was here this morning that was sick and the Spirit of God came upon me, that give that faith, they're going pray, pray for that person's healed. It's over. Amen. It's finished. But you see, that faith is something that God, is something that God, like the salvation and so forth, we're not saved by our own self, we're not even saved by our own faith, we're saved by grace,
Amen.
By faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God.
Amen.
The whole thing is a work of God, the whole thing is a work of grace from start to finish.
Amen.
As soon as we get involved in it, that's when the problems start.
That's right.
As soon as we start to move into the program there, that's where we get the problems coming along there. The whole work of salvation from beginning to end. Now, we often look at the salvation and say, praise the Lord, God has to save us. We all believe that. But you know, not everybody believes that the one that's saving us is the one that's also going to live for us. Amen. The one that saved us, that life that saved you is a life that's got to keep you.
Amen.
And actually
Amen.
Got to live for you.
Right.
You know, Paul had that great revelation. He said, it's no longer I that liveth.
Yes.
Amen.
That's a wonderful revelation. We can, it's no longer, it's not me that's doing it. It's Christ that's in me. And the life I'm now living, Paul didn't say I'm living by my faith. He didn't say I'm living by my strength. He said I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul, hallelujah. There's something about the faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Paul prayed for the Ephesian church there. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. There's a living faith. There's a faith that God gives. It's unshakable. It's unmovable. Nothing's going to change it. Praise the Lord. But you know, we can be a believing people. We can be a believing people right now. We can choose whether we want to believe the Word of God. In fact, what believing is doing is it's opening the channels. What believing the Word of God is doing is it's opening the doors for faith to come. And I'm off my subject straight away. Excuse me, I want to try and get back onto it because I don't want to keep you long this morning. But you know, Paul was speaking to the Galatians there. He said that, you know, when he spoke about the schoolmaster and so forth, he said, but after faith has come. You see, faith has to come.
Right.
You understand? Faith's not something that you can produce. Faith's not something you can turn on. Faith has to come. Faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
And hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
So we believe the Word of God. We come to the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We open the channels. Hallelujah. And God releases that faith to your heart.
Yes.
To believe the promises of God.
Yes.
And to believe the Word of God.
Amen.
Does that make sense to you? Amen.
Amen.
Praise be to God. So let's get back into our subject now. Like I say, we look at the life of Abraham and we see how he was called. And Abraham started his journey by faith. I mean, Abraham didn't turn around one day and say, you know what, I'm sick of it down here and over here in Ur of the Chaldees. I want to go somewhere else. It wasn't like that. One day, God spoke to Abraham. You cannot move until God speaks to you. Go through the book of Hebrews chapter 11 there. And it all starts with by faith.
Yes.
It wasn't anything that they did in themselves. Faith had to come. But when faith has come, God expects you to do something. You see, when faith came to Abraham, now imagine if Abraham would have gone down there testifying, you know what, God has spoken to me and told me, I'm going to leave here and go into a land that He's going to show me. Well, that was true, but that faith would have been of no avail until Abraham acted on what God said. In fact, James tells us, doesn't it, there, that faith without works is dead. So you can have all the faith in the world, but until you do something about it, it's not going to do you too much good.
Amen.
But Abraham took a journey there. And on that journey, he came into the land of promise, which God was showing him there. Now, it wasn't a perfect start, but hallelujah, it was a start. Just the same with you and me, friends. When we start, it's not a perfect start, but it's a start. And then God can perfect that. So Abraham comes over into the land of Canaan and so forth. But after a while, there's a famine. He gets a little bit of a trial. And Abraham, in his own way of thinking, there thinks, you know what, I'm going to be better off down there in Egypt. So you see, there's something still of Abraham. They're making the choices. Some of them right choices, but some of the wrong choices. But it began by faith. On what God starts, hallelujah, being confident in this very thing, which He which has begun a good work in you, He'll finish it. So what God started with Abraham, He was going to finish. Praise the Lord. Though Abraham met him and made some wrong decisions, took some wrong turns, he was acting on what God said. And God therefore was going to perfect that faith which he'd given to Abraham. You see, what God was watching over was that faith that was in the heart of Abraham, that God had given to him. And so God brought him through right to that place that he gets to the end of his journey, where he can come to a place that against hope he can believe in hope.
Amen.
That being not weak in faith. Now physically he's weak. Physically he's a wreck, but that faith that was right there at the beginning, God, through those journeying, through those trials, through those tests that he got through that land there, has perfected that faith that he could stand in the fullness of that faith.
Amen.
And believe that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Hallelujah. God's going to bring the church to that place.
Right.
He's going to bring you to that place. He's going to bring me to that place. What God starts, praise be to God, he's going to finish.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're going to have your good days, you're going to have your bad days. You're going to have your days on the mountains, you're going to have your days in the valley. But what God begins, he's going to finish.
Amen.
What God has started in your life, you can be sure about. He's going to finish it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise be to God. But let's look at something. Now, like I said, I wanted to speak there this morning, the storms that come in our lives. I want to speak of three kinds of storms today. Now, the first storm is the storm that comes to try and sink our faith. The second storm I want to speak about is a storm that comes to us through our own willfulness and our own disobedience. And the third kind of storm I want to speak on this morning is the kind of a storm that comes along when we try and run from God, when we try and go our own way. Now, I think it's fair to say, or let me speak for myself. I can't speak for you, but I guess we could all testify that we face each one of those kinds of storms. But in our Christian life, in our Christian walk, we are going to go through each one of those storms. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the first one. Let's look at the storm that comes along to try and sink our faith. Let's go to the scripture in the Gospel of Matthew. Let me get a little marker there so I can come back to this. I guess you know where I'm going. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. And Matthew 14. I believe we start reading at verse 22. Yeah, amen. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Amen. Now, I'm speaking now just for a moment on the storms that come to try and sink our faith. Notice verse 22. Straight away, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Notice that word there, constrain. The word constrain means to necessitate, to compel. He literally forced his disciples there to get into the ship and to go before him to the other side. Now he knew what was coming, but he still constrained those disciples to get into that ship.
Amen.
And to go before him over to the other side there. Now notice I'm speaking about the faith that comes to try and sink our faith. Whenever, the one thing's for certain, whenever God speaks to you and shows you something or gives you something or calls you to do something, look out for a storm. There's just no way that you'd be sure of one thing, there's a storm on the way. You ever make a step to follow God or to serve God or to take God at his word, there's a storm coming.
That's right.
Well, all you've got to know is that Jesus called you to get into the ship.
Amen.
All you've got to be, the only place your faith has got to rest in is God told me to do it. Jesus called me to do it. If your foundation is on the word of God and what God is saying, you're safe, you're secure. Praise the
Amen.
Lord. So he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But notice, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Amen. You think Jesus didn't know that was coming? And yet he's called his disciples to get out and to go into that ship there and to go across onto the other side there. But now they're in the ship there and everything's just falling apart. The wind's... the Bible tells us the wind was contrary. You ever do something for God, and I can be certain of one thing, everything will almost look contrary. Everything will just seem to go wrong. I've heard people say, well, I did something for God and everything seemed to go right. Well, that's not been my experience. When you ever try and take God at His word, or God, a promise of God at His word there, everything just seems to be contrary. Everything just seems to be going against you. You say, well, how could this be God? That's when you've got to know that it's God that called you to do it. That's when you've got to be sure that it's God that's telling you and leading you to do it. The only authority you need, the only assurance you need, is that Jesus Christ said so. Hallelujah. That it's God's plan, it's God's purpose. You can't look at what you're seeing. So much today is based on what we're seeing. So much today is based on what we're feeling. The only assurance that you need as a child of God is the Word of God. The only confidence that you need is confidence in what He has said. If He has said it, it is surely coming to pass.
Amen.
And the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But notice verse 27. But straight away, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Oh, I like that. Whenever you just make that step for God, and there's a storm in your life, if you know where you're at, if you know you're doing what God's asked you to do, or doing what God's led you to do, you can be sure of one thing. Jesus is there straight away.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It is I, be not afraid.
Amen.
A storm will come, but you can have the confidence, you can have the assurance that Jesus Christ is in the storm.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I like that. Straight away Jesus said, "It is I, be not afraid." Now, the storm wasn't Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ was in the storm. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was in the storm. He said, "Don't be afraid of it. Don't be worried about it. It's I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him, saying, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when he was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, I remember when God first called me as a young child. This was before I was even a Christian, just about 7 years old. God gave me that dream. I still remember it vividly to this day. As I was in that boat there, and I saw the Lord walking on the water, and He called me to get out of the boat. I didn't know it then, but I have since come to realize that God was showing me my life. That He was calling me, as He calls each one of us, to make that step. But when He calls you to make a step, you can be sure there's going to be a storm. You can be sure that everything's going to be going contrary. It might be going contrary in your home. It might be going contrary in your church. It might be going contrary in your ministry. But if you're sure it's I, then don't be afraid.
Amen.
If you're sure God's called you to do it, then stand on the Word of God.
Amen.
Believe the Word of God, that God said so. And you, not only that, you have the authority in that storm to call on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And straight away, Jesus is on the scene.
Amen.
But when he saw, now Peter gets out of the boat. I've always appreciated Peter for doing that, for getting out of the boat.
Amen.
We often think about Peter being the disciple that sunk. To me, he was the disciple that got out of the boat.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I mean, you talk about walking on water. Have you ever seen anybody stand on water? But Peter got out of the boat.
Yes.
He took God at His word.
Amen.
It's easy to criticize somebody when they sink and make a mess of things and fail. But at least they took that step.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So Peter gets out of the boat and he begins to walk to the Lord. Now here's the problem that happens with Peter. It happens with all of us there. We begin to look around at what we're seeing. We take our eyes off what it's God doing, the calling. We take our eyes off Jesus called us out of the boat. And then we begin to look at the winds. We begin to look at the waves. We begin to look all around us. And when we do, that's when we begin to sink. It's really a good illustration of the Christian life, that very often we start in the spirit, but very quickly we move on over into the flesh.
Yeah.
And when we do, then we look around, and that's when we begin to sink. God wants your eyes on Him all the time.
Amen.
God wants you looking to Him all the time. Hallelujah. So here's the storm, but Peter begins to look around. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. There's that fear again. Coming to the church. There's that spirit of fear coming against. Satan will show you everything he can show you to get you to sink.
Yes, amen.
Satan will show you everything in your life. He'll show you in your home. He'll show you everything there is to get you to sink. To try and destroy. You see, there's a storm that comes to sink your faith. There's a storm that comes to try and sink your faith. That's when you've got to know, it is I, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
That's That's when you've got to know that it's Jesus that's doing the calling. And if you know that, then stand in that storm.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when he saw the wind, the voices, he began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And notice verse 31. And immediately, notice a few verses before, straight away, and immediately. You see, in that kind of storm, Jesus is there straight away.
Amen.
And he's there immediately. The storm will come, but Jesus is there straight away. And he's there immediately to bring you through that, to bear you up in that. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith." Now, he didn't say he didn't have any faith. He had faith. Praise God. What was his faith? One word. Come. Come. That's God speaking to him. That's all the faith that Peter needed. Praise the Lord. The only thing that, all the faith that faith, that simple word. That simple little promise of God. And how many promises do we have as children of God this morning? How many promises do we have in the Word of God this morning? As God's children there. Speaking to our hearts there. That we ought to be able to stand on the promises of God. Stand on the Word of God. When a storm comes. When a trial comes. When the enemy comes. If you know that God, if you're where God wants you to be. Doing what God wants you to do. Then God is right there with you in the storm. You say, why would God let a storm come? Why would he let these trials come? It's just to show you his glory. That he has power. He has authority over the storm. The Psalms tells us over in the scripture there that thou rulest the raging of the waves.
Amen.
The Bible said the waves have lifted up their voices. Mm-hmm. Notice waves are likened to voices. Waves are voices that come into your life to try to sink that faith. But the psalmist goes on to say, but thou rulest the raging of the waves.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why was Jesus walking on the water? Was he doing it just to show off? No, he was showing that he has authority in the storm. That he has power in the storm.
Amen.
But when the storm comes to your life, he's the one that rules the raging of the waves. He's the one that can speak to that storm.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm bringing you through. Oh, praise be to God. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He was showing you that he has no power over the natural waves. But he also has power over the spiritual waves.
Amen.
He also has authority over the spiritual waves in your life. Over the spiritual storm that's in your life. It might be physical, it might be spiritual, it might be financial, it might be emotional. But there's one here today, hallelujah,
amen,
that has authority over the storm.
Right.
If you're in that kind of a storm, he's there straight away. And he's there immediately. The Bible says he's a very present help in time of trouble. A very present help in time of trouble. He'll be right on the scene and right on time. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a storm that comes to try to sink your faith. Maybe you're facing that kind of a storm this morning. Somebody here. But there's one that rules those waves. There's one that has authority over that storm. You might fail. You might feel yourself sinking. All you've got to do. You see, I don't have that faith. All you've got to do is call on him.
Amen.
All Peter did.
Amen.
You know, Peter didn't speak to the storm. He was too full of fear to do that. And that's sometimes the way with you and me. We might be in a place that we don't have that kind of, we just almost think we're gone. But we can just call on him.
Yeah.
We can just call on him. Just simply call on him.
Amen.
I like that. Straight away and immediately.
Yeah.
When fear came, straight away Jesus spoke. When Peter began to sink, immediately Jesus lifted him up. Oh, hallelujah. We serve a mighty God.
Amen.
We serve a very present help in time of trouble.
Right.
God's word is true.
Amen, brother.
God's promises are true.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when they were coming to the ship, verse 32, the wind ceased. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. All you've got to know is that Jesus is with you in the storm.
Amen.
If there's that kind of a storm in your life, all you've got to know is that Jesus is with you in the storm. When those winds blow and those gales howl and those waves rage, all you've got to know is it's time. Be not afraid. But you can go back to the Word of God. that you can go back to the promises of God and stand on the word of God. And stand on that promise of God. God said so. God said, I don't care how many devils are all blowing. God's word is sure.
Amen.
God's promises are sure. Oh, let's be a believing people, friends. Let's be a people that take God and his word. Hallelujah. The storm that comes to try to sink our faith. But in that kind of a storm, we can call on him. When that kind of a storm comes, we can call on him. And he's there straight away. And he's there immediately. Hallelujah. How many's ever faced that kind of a storm? Sure you have. Maybe you're facing it today. But you'll never... You'll get that kind of a storm as long as we're in this tabernacle of flesh. We'll face those kind of a storms. Well, all we've got to know is with us in the storm. Praise the Lord. Let me speak on another kind of a storm just for a few moments. As a storm that comes through our own willfulness and disobedience. I guess that's not a very good one to admit to, but let me admit to it for you. I've been in many of those storms. Where we want to go on in our own willfulness. We want to go on our own way. And we find ourselves in a storm. Let's go to the book of Acts. Let's find Acts chapter 27. And that's the kind of a storm that we come into. And when we get into this kind of a storm, that don't make us not a child of God. Let me say something. This doesn't make us not a Christian, a child of God. His child. We are still a child of God. But you know, sometimes God has to let you go your own way. Sometimes God has to let you go and do what you want to do in your own willfulness. Because that's the only way you're going to learn the lesson. Let's look at something. And this is the kind of a storm that we're going to have to go through. He's not going to bring you out of it. He's going to let you go through it. But you're still his child. He's still with you. His hand's still on you. But he's going to have to teach us a lesson. Notice something. Acts chapter 27. Let's begin at verse 10. Let's look at verse 9 before verse 10. Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. Notice, Paul admonished them.
Yeah.
So here's the word of the Lord. God speaking through Paul. And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Now they've got the clear word of the Lord through Paul to tell them, you don't take this journey. And you know, God will always make himself clear. Whether we want to obey it or not, that's our choice. He's not going to force it, but he's going to tell you. He's going to show you. He's going to warn you. He's going to speak to you. So Paul, very, very clear. Now, it's not a great mystery. He very clearly and simply tells them, you set out on this voyage, there's going to be loss and there's going to be damage. But the Bible tells us, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Isn't that the way? We look on the human side of things. Why would that owner of the ship want to lose his ship? Surely he ought to know what he's doing. He wouldn't sit out there on a journey like that if he knew he was going to lose his ship. He must have a weather report. He must listen to all the advice not to go. And if he thinks it's okay to go, then we can set out. Oh, I could liken that so much like it is in the church today. Yeah. We've got so many people that's got it all just figured out how it's going to be. But if God said, don't you do it, don't you do it. We got people that's got all the answers worked out. But if God said, don't you take that journey, don't you take that journey. You stay within the path that God clearly lays down in his word. Yeah. Don't go off some false trail now or some wild trail and you're going to find yourself in a storm. So many of God's children, that don't make them not God's children now, but they found themselves in a storm of their own making. So the centurion wanted to believe the master and the owner of the ship. Surely he didn't want to lose his ship. He ought to know what he's talking about. It's always the natural. Isn't it an amazing thing? It's always the natural that gets listened to before the spiritual. It's always the natural side of things that's taken more serious than the spiritual side of things. It's always the natural side of things that men look to instead of the spiritual side of things. You see that in the natural, but you also see it in the world, but also in the church. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. Notice the Bible says it wasn't a very nice place to be. It wasn't very comfortable being where they were. And sometimes we might be in a place, God might have you in a place, He might have us in a place there, we don't like it. It's not comfortable. We want to be out of it. God might have you in a certain place in your life, in a certain part of your journey, and I don't want to be there. I don't want to stay there. I want to move on. But if God says stay where you are, stay where you are. If God says rest, you better rest. But you see, the whole point of it is they didn't want to be there. And so many of our trials, so many of the problems, the storm that comes in our life, it's quite simply because we don't want to do it. We don't want to be there. We don't want to be going there or doing that. And so we want to move on. It's not comfortable. It's not commodious. But God might have you there for a purpose. You might not understand it now, but you might be able to look back in the years to come and see it was the hand of God. I can look back at things in my life today where I looked and fought against God and complained against God and murmured against God. But I can look back now and see that it was the perfect hand of God. Hallelujah. That God in His mercy didn't let me go down that road. But if it was left to my choice, oh boy, I would have gone. But God, you know, it's always best to pray, Lord, not my will, but Amen. Thy will be done.
Amen.
Lord, I want you. This is maybe a strange thing for you to understand, but I've prayed about things before and known that I could have got the answer. Known that I could have received what I prayed for. And yet I felt checked to go back and pray for the perfect will of God. And God changed it. God will give you what you keep pushing hard enough and long enough, God will give you what you want. You might not like it when you've got it. It's always good and it's always best to pray, Lord, not my will, but thy will. Praise the Lord. So it wasn't comfortable to be there. They didn't want to be there. Even though God had spoken through Paul, there's going to be a storm, there's going to be damage, there's going to be loss. But they wanted to move on. Verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they'd obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. I like that. When the south wind blew softly, supposing they gained their purpose, they set sail. You know, Satan will always make things look comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The enemy will always make things look good.
Mm-hmm.
Compare that with what we just read in the Gospel of Matthew. The wind was contrary. The wind was contrary. But Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the boat. But over here in the book of Acts, everything looks fine and dandy. The wind's blowing just right. Everything's perfect. What was Paul talking about? How can that be right? Look, everything looks perfect. That's just the way the enemy will make it look. The devil will make everything look just right in your life to get you out of the will of God. The devil will come along and just make everything look perfect to get you out of the will of God. And you might be in a place that's not comfortable to be. You might be in a place that's not commodious to be. But if God's got you there, you better stay there. So everything looked just perfect there. And they thought, you know what? This is obviously the will of God. Now they're basing the will of God now on what they're seeing. They're basing the will of God on what they're feeling. On what's on the external things. Instead of the Word of God.
Amen.
God has clearly spoken through Paul there, don't you take that journey. But now they're not listening to Paul, they're not listening to the Word of God. They're looking at what they're seeing, they're looking at what they're feeling, they're looking at what they're hearing. And the report they're getting naturally from the captain of the ship, therefore, and then they go on the journey. And Satan gets them out just far enough, and that's what he'll do with each one of us. He'll get you out just far enough that it's too late to turn back. And then verse 14... But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. They're too far out now, they can't get back. So they're in a storm. And now they've got to go through it. There's no way out of it. They've got to go through it. There's no way back. They can't get back now. They're way out there. They're caught in a typhoon there, or a Euroclide and a whirlwind. And the Bible tells us, as it goes on to speak, that ship was driven. They had absolutely no control over events from then on in. And you want to go your own way, and you want to do your own thing, that's okay. But you might find yourself in a storm that you've got absolutely no control over and no control in. You've just literally got to commit yourself to God and His mercy to keep you and to bring you through that storm. Praise be to God. Now, it's not God punishing you. We often think, oh, God's punishing me, God's judging me. No. You're just reaping the results of your own willfulness and your own disobedience. But you're still a child of God. He still loves you. You're still His child. But He's going to have to let you go through it. Now imagine what it would be if He came along and said, you know what? I'll deal with this storm. What would happen?
Yes.
What would happen? You wouldn't learn any lessons.
Right.
You just think, you know what? I can just do what I want any time. It's okay. Father will come down. He'll just bring me out of it. So God sometimes has to let you go through those things.
Yeah.
To learn your lesson. And sometimes when God gives you a lesson, we ought to learn it good enough not to go and do the same thing again. So God puts, they're all in the storm there, and the Bible tells us they're being driven in the storm. There's nothing they can do about it. They're in a whirlwind. They cannot control events. That ship's being driven. There's nothing they can do to help themselves there. They've just got to sit it out. And sometimes that's the way it comes in your life and in my life. You've just got to sit it out and commit yourself to God. Let's jump down to verse 21. But after long abstinence, compare that with Matthew 20, with Matthew 14, straight away and immediately. That kind of a storm, Jesus is there straight away and immediately. This kind of a storm, the Bible says, after long abstinence. In other words, God just sat quiet. No, you wanted to go your own way, that's okay, go on. I'll just sit in the background, I'll just sit quiet. You wanted your own way, go and do it. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth into the midst of them and said unto them, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not to have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Notice, there was harm and there was loss. Now it's not God punishing anyone, it's not God judging anyone, it's just reaping the results of our own actions. You know, grace will forgive, but it doesn't remove the consequence. Grace forgive. And that's why Satan will use in people's lives. Once sin is confessed and put into the blood of Jesus, it's finished. It's over. It's done with. But the consequences of that sin are still there. Now people say, oh, Satan's bringing my sin before you. No, he's not. That sin's not there. It's gone. He can't bring your sin before you, but what he can bring before you, and this is where he torments so many Christians today. Oh, this is going to catch somebody. What he torments so many Christians today with is the consequences of their actions.
Yes.
It's the consequences he torments you with. Now, when he comes to you like that, all you've got to say is, Satan, those sins are under the blood of Jesus. Those sins are confessed. They're dealt with. They're gone.
Yeah.
He just comes and torments you. Like, for instance, God forgive David. But the sword never departed from his house. He had to live all his life and on down through with the results of that sin. But that Nathan the prophet said, God's forgiven your sin. That sin's put away. But the consequences of that sin, the consequences of what he did, stayed with him. And it's the same thing with you and me. The consequences of our sin is what stays with us. And that's what Satan will come and torment you with. In your mind, in your spirit, it's that the sin's been dealt with, the sin's gone. But it's the consequences of your sin he's tormenting you with. Therefore, you can speak to him and tell him that sin's gone, and you can command him to leave. Praise the Lord. So many Christians today are tormented by that. And brought into bondage with that. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what the Word of God says. We either believe it or we don't. Praise the Lord. So it says after long absence, Paul said, you should have listened to me and not to have loosed some creature, to have gained this harm and loss. You see, in that kind of a storm, there may be loss, there may be harm. But you're still a child of God. You see, sin can affect your relationship, it can't alter it. You're still a child of God. Disobedience will affect your relationship with God. It won't alter it. Your rebellion, your own willfulness, what we do will affect our relationship with God. But it doesn't change it. We're still a child of God. Hallelujah.
Right.
Praise the Lord. There's still a way back.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing's going to separate us from the love of God, Paul said. Principalities, powers, things to come, things present. Nothing's going to separate us from the love of God, nor height nor depth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of Jesus. Verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. You're in a storm. You're in a storm of your own making. You're in a storm of your own willfulness, of your own disobedience. But Paul said, I want to exhort you. Be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Be of good cheer. For there shall no loss of any man's life be among you, but the ship. In other words, the ship's going to be lost. It didn't have to be that way. You wanted to go your own way, that's going to be the results of it. But there's no life going to be lost. For there, verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not. All those words are precious. When you're in that kind of a storm, fear not. You know, two words that Jesus spoke often to his church was fear not and care not. Don't have fear and don't have worry. The two greatest plagues in the world today are fear and anxiety. And Jesus told his church, don't worry and don't be afraid and don't get anxious, don't get careful of things. Hallelujah. Fear not. Saying, fear not, Paul, for thou wast brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Praise be to God. You're going to go through this storm. I'm not going to stop the storm. The storm's not going to stop. In fact, if you read on, you find out they just barely escaped with their life. They jumped on boards and so forth and planks and got all safe land. But God saved them all. God didn't take the storm away. He let them go right through that storm. But he brought them through it.
Amen.
And that kind of a storm, God won't take it away in your life. He'll let you go right on through it. But fear not. I'll bring you through it. You're still my child. I'll bring you through it. Praise be to God. That's a storm you can do nothing about. And I guess we've all faced those kind of storms in our life. I know I certainly have. Many times faced those kind of storms. Well, you just wanted to go in your own way. In your own willfulness. But hallelujah. I believe God it shall be even as it was said unto me. Praise be to God. Then let's look at the final kind of a storm that comes. There's a storm that comes, you know, when we just want to run from God. When we want to get out of the will of God. It's a little bit similar to the storm we read about there in the book of Acts. But in one important case. It's a storm that we can do something about. That's the storm back there that they couldn't do anything about. They had to go through it. I guess you all know where I'm going now. Let's get to the book of Jonah. Praise the Lord. Book of Jonah. Let's look at the first chapter. I like the book of Jonah. Praise the Lord. Jonah chapter 1. Let's read a few verses down now. Notice. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Notice God speaks directly, clearly to Jonah. And this also gives us a great lesson that every one of us have to abide in the sphere of ministry that God ordains for us to be in. You cannot do someone else's work. You cannot do someone else's ministry. When God first called me many, many years ago, he said those words to me, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You must keep within the calling you have. You cannot do another's. So much damage is done today in the church by men getting out of their position, by men getting out of their place, trying to be something that God didn't ordain them to be, trying to do something God did not ordain them to do. And it causes so Now, they might have had the mental capability, the financial capability, and every other kind of capability. But the only authority and capability that you need when you do God's work is the authority of God. God will take care of the rest of everything else. All you need is the authority of God. But if God told you to do it, go and do it. But Jonah wasn't happy with that. He wanted to run from that. But again, the word of the Lord is clear to Jonah. It's not a great mystery. It's not hard to understand. He doesn't need anybody to interpret it to him. He doesn't need to say, well, I wonder if I can go to the minister or the pastor and he can explain it to me. When God speaks to you, it's direct and it's clear. You know.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're his child. When God speaks to your heart, you know about it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So God's speaking to Jonah. He said, I want you to go down to Nineveh. Problem with Jonah is he didn't want to go and preach to the Ninevites. He just didn't want to go down there. He didn't want to go and preach to those people. But that's where God was sending him. And only Jonah could do it. There was no one else. That was his sphere of ministry. That was his sphere of operation. What if he just said, I want to do what Jeremiah is doing. I want to do what Isaiah is doing. Or some other prophet. But God said, Jonah, I'm sending you down to Nineveh. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. When you find what God's asking you to do, when you find what God's sending you to do, stay with it.
Yes. Amen.
Praise be to God. He said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is coming before me. Notice verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Yeah. Notice, I don't want to be nitpicking, forgive me if you feel that, but look, let me show you something. Notice in the first verse there, the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah to go to Nineveh. But then in verse 2 it says he rose to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, the presence of the Lord is always with his word. See, but notice, it's always the word first, not the presence. First it was the word, then the presence. When Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, he was fleeing from the word of the Lord. But the presence always comes with the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord does not come with the presence. Do you understand? The word of the Lord does not come with the presence. It's always, like for instance, when Jesus commissioned his church, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and these signs shall follow them that believe, in my name they'll cast out devils, and so on and so on. They'll speak with new tongues. It's the word of the Lord first, and then that presence comes down to confirm that word. The presence doesn't come then, the word doesn't confirm the presence confirms the word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's the word first, then the presence. It's the word that comes first, then the presence.
Yes.
So much false doctrine comes because we get that the wrong way around. How does Satan come? How does he come? Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. In the last days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. In other words, presence and doctrines of devils. So the enemy comes first, it's a presence, then it's the word. But when God comes, first it's the word.
Amen.
Then the presence to confirm the word.
Amen.
So much damage has been done because people come, they get some kind of an impression, they have some supernatural mystical experience, say, praise God, it's God's word. And when they find it, don't tally with the word of God. Instead of humbling themselves and subjecting themselves to the word of God, they go on and they seek to try and justify what they're doing. But what they really need to do is to come back to the word. It's to come back to the scripture. It's to come. It's the foundation is always the scripture.
Amen.
The presence. The presence is with the word. The word's not with the presence. All false doctrine starts with, I guarantee it, all your false begins with a presence. A mystical supernatural experience that somebody's had. But if it's ever God, it always starts on the word.
Amen.
Always the foundation is the word.
That's right.
Hallelujah. The enemy comes, firstly it's a spirit, then it's a doctrine. How he turns that around, you see. Praise the Lord. So Jonah seeks to run from the presence. See, God's presence is always with his word. The real presence of God is with the word of God. Never outside the word of God. Oh, the word of God's precious. The scriptures of it just blesses my heart. The word of God is so precious. I just think of the men that gave their lives horrendously died and suffered, burned at the stake, just so that we can have a Bible today. Praise to the Lord. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. You see, when you run from God, there's only one direction you're going, it's down. In fact, if you watch Jonah from now on in, it's down, down, down. He went down to Joppa, down to a ship, down to the bottom of the ship, down to the sea, down to the belly of the whale. There's only one way you're going when you seek to run from God, and it's down. It's never up, it's always down. And Jonah ran from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and bound a ship going to Tarshish, and paid the fare there. There's always a fare to pay. There's always a price to pay. When you run from God's will in your life, when you run from what God's showing you to do, and calling you to do, and leading you to do, there's always a price to pay. There's always a fare to pay. And he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Now here's a storm. God's sending a storm now. What's the storm for? It's to blow Jonah back on track. Sometimes God will send that kind of a storm in your life to just blow you back on track. Notice, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, that the ship was like to be broken. A little bit like we've just read in the book of Acts there. But this is a storm you can do. Quite simply, you can change it. You can stop the storm immediately. Simply by a choice. Simply by a decision. You know, so much in our Christian life really can be changed. Quite simply by a choice. We don't have to go away and fast and pray. We can just simply make a choice. Not that there's nothing wrong with fasting and praying. Of course there is. We do. As Christians, we do those things. We should do those things. But sometimes, it's so simple. It's just a matter of a decision. It's just a matter of a choice. So Jonah, he gets into the ship there. And he gets into the bottom of the ship. And the ship's almost going to be smashed up. But I want you to notice something. Look at verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it up them. But Jonah was gone down to the sides of the ship and he lay and he was fast asleep. I mean, that was some storm. That storm was so powerful, even those mariners, those sailors were afraid. They were crying on their God. But here's a prophet of God. Here's a man out of the will of God, out of the place that God wants him to be, and he's fast asleep. He's completely out of it. He's fast asleep. He's not even... And you know when you're out of the will of God, you're not aware of the danger you're in. And you're not aware of the danger you're putting other people in. Here was Jonah. He was absolutely oblivious to what was going on. And that's just the same way... We can get to a place like that when we're out of the will of God. When we're just seeking to run from the will of God and the purpose of God in our life. We can be so out of things that we're absolutely spiritually asleep that we're not aware of the danger we're in. And we're not aware of the danger we're putting other people in. Everything can be falling apart around us, and we're just so out of it, we're not even aware. There's no spiritual discernment. There's no spiritual awareness of what is happening now. We are spiritually asleep. We are spiritually desensitized there to the Spirit of God, to the moving of God, to the conviction of God. We're just so completely hardened up, we're out of it. We're totally out of it because we're out of the will of God. We're seeking to get away from the will of God, from the plan of God, from the purpose of God, and we're no longer aware of the Spirit of God to convict us, to lead us, to call us, to draw us, or to show us what He wants us to do. Jonah's absolutely fast asleep. And you know, it's amazing. Not even God can wake him up. Not even God can wake him up. God sent that storm to wake him up. God sent that storm to get Jonah back on track. But Jonah is so spiritually out of things now, he's not even aware of what's happening. Because he's out of the will of God. He's seeking to run from the presence of God. So therefore, God has got to use the arm of flesh to wake Jonah up. Let's read on. You know, the Bible, it's not a joke. But it amazes me. He wasn't just taking 40 weeks. The Bible said he was fast asleep.
Yes.
Fast asleep. And he's completely out of it. Now that takes some doing. I mean, to be sleeping in a ship when it's absolutely being torn to pieces and sailors on there, no use of those seas there, screaming and calling on their gods. And here's a man so out of it, he's not aware of what's going on. And the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. That's amazing. It took a man to have to come and wake Jonah up. It took a man to come and have to wake that spiritual, that prophet up. Not even God could wake him up. God sent the storm there to wake him up and get him back on track. But Jonah, he wasn't even aware of it. So God used the arm of flesh to wake him. You know, God will do the same thing for you and me. If we won't listen to God, then God will use the arm of flesh to wake us up. That's what he did to Israel. They didn't want to listen to their prophets or their judges and so forth. So God said, you know what? I'll send you the Assyrians. I'll send you the Babylonians. I'll send you the Philistines. That'll wake you up.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the only thing that will work, is God has to use man to wake his church up. Think about the persecutions that have come into the church. The great trials. Why? To wake the church up. They say that the church is never powerful until it's in persecution. It's just a way that God has of waking his church up.
Amen.
God help us, but I think we might be heading for something like that now. To wake his people up. Because just like Jonah, so many of us are asleep. We're not just asleep, we're fast asleep. We're so taken up with the cares of this life and the things of this life, we're out of it completely. Desensitized to the Spirit of God. Desensitized to the conviction of God. To the leading of God. To the drawings of God. To the callings of God. Oh, it's an awful thing. The curse of this age is materialism.
Right.
Nothing wrong with having nice things. But when it starts to dominate your life, you've got a problem. When it starts to control your life, you've got a real issue. So God had to use the arm of flesh, the arm of man to wake him up. And Jonah goes on to say, after he's got the sleep rubbed out of his eyes, after God's got him woke up, after God shook him awake there, gets the sleep rubbed out of his eyes, he said, you know what, this might just be me. Eventually he realizes, you know what, I'm out of the will of God. I'm in a place I shouldn't be. I'm running from God. So when God eventually gets him woke up, and Jonah says, you know what, you put me over the side there, drop me into the ocean, everything will get sorted out. They didn't want to do it. But eventually he got to a place they could do nothing else. Nothing else they could do, so they got a hold of Jonah, slipped him over the side, down to the seas he went, to the belly of the fish, and down to the bottom of the ocean. As soon as he did that, the Bible tells us there in verse 14, I believe it is, and wherefore they cried unto the Lord, said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not his innocent blood upon us, for thou hast done as it pleased you. Verse 15, so they took Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased her raging. As soon as Jonah comes back on track, as soon as Jonah gets back to where God wants him to be, everything becomes calm. In fact, he goes on to say that the men of God feared the Lord and offered sacrifices to the Lord and paid vows. While before that, they're calling on their own gods. Now they're calling on the God. Hallelujah. That was some meeting. Praise the Lord. They turned from their gods to the God.
Amen.
See, as soon as a man came back to where God wanted him to be, get himself back into the plan and to the purpose of God, then everything around Jonah starts to come right. The sea becomes right. The men on the ship begin to fear and serve God. Praise the Lord. Sometimes God has to send those kinds of storms to bring us to where God wants us to be. Praise the Lord. But three kinds of storms have come. The storm that comes to sink your faith. The storm that comes along there to try, that comes when we want to go our own way. You've got to go through that storm. There's nothing you can do about it. You're still a child of God. God says, I'm going to bring you through it. I'll take care of you. I'll watch over you. But you're going to have to go through that storm. But don't fear. I'm going to bring you through it. You're still my child. But then it's just the kind of a storm that comes when we want to run from God and get out of the will of God. Seek to go into our own thing. But as soon as Jonah was aware of what was happening, Jonah said, you know what? As soon as Jonah began to put things right, then everything around Jonah starts to get right. And sometimes we find those kind of storms in our life as soon as we start to follow God. After a while, may not be straight away, but after a while, everything starts to come right. I like that where it says there that the men on that ship begin to fear God and pay vows to God.
Amen.
He had a revival meeting, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Those men gave their hearts to God. Turned from their gods. Praise the Lord. Well, amen. Three kinds of storms. But God's with us in every one of them. Let's just bow our heads, friends, this morning. Now, I don't know what kind of a storm you might be in this morning. Maybe it's a storm that's there of your own making. Maybe it's a storm that's there to try your faith. Maybe there's a storm in your life that's trying to, you know, you're seeking to be out of it. God's trying to show you something, speak to you, lead you to do something, and you're running from God. It's not for me to know. Only that's between you and God. But I do pray this morning that God will lead you by His Spirit, speak to you by His Spirit to show you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that God will take these few words that have been spoken. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, you would make some sense out of the Lord to the hearts of the people. I pray thee, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Lord, you'll touch the hearts of your people today. Oh God, bring your healing touch, Lord. Bring your delivering touch, Father. Bring your binding touch, Father. Lord, have mercy, Lord, upon your people. Lord, we just need that mercy and we need that grace. For great is the time of need. So help us today, I pray, in that precious name. If there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you, Father. If there's someone here without you this morning, Lord Jesus. I do ask you that you'll save their soul, Lord. I pray, God, you'll speak to their heart. Let them know that they need you. Father, I pray that God will have mercy on each one. If there's some here this morning that need a healing touch. I pray, Heavenly Father, that God, you'll touch their lives with your presence. If there's some here this morning that need, Lord, just to, for you to show them, lead them, guide them by your Spirit. I pray that, Lord, you'll make it clear to them, Lord, what to do, where to go, Lord. Just lead them by your Holy Spirit. I pray for some here today that are just bound up with some kind of a habit or thing, Lord. I just pray that in the name of Jesus, Lord, you could break that chain and just loose them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. Lord, let thy blessing be upon us this morning, I pray. Oh God, just touch your people, we ask, in that precious name of Jesus. Be with us now for a few moments as we just wait upon you, Lord. Minister to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask, Father, only you can open the heart of a man or a woman, Lord. A preacher cannot do that. He can just speak a few words, Lord, from the book. But only God can touch hearts. I do pray this morning, Father, that you'll indeed touch hearts, Lord. Grant it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just commit all things to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know that chorus? It says, melt my heart, make it real. Blessed Lord, let me feel thy love and thy purity. Let my will sweetly blend till thy glory descend. Blessed Lord, have thy way in me. Does anybody know that? Or am I just, you know, how many wants God to touch their hearts this morning?
Amen.
How many wants God to melt their heart this morning? Let's just simply in this quiet time, just quietly where you are now, just meet with God where you are. Just say, Lord, I want you to touch me this morning. I want you to help me this morning, Lord. If you've got a need, God's not going to force himself. Like I say, it's about choice. It's about a decision we make. But God's here to help. God's here to bless. God's here to touch. Oh, Father, help us this day. Touch our hearts, I pray. Bring healing, Lord. Bring deliverance, Lord. Bring salvation, Father. Move upon your people, I pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord, I live. making a prayer, making a desire in your heart today.
Bread of heaven.
Sick this morning, why don't you just raise your hand to God and say, Lord, just touch my body this morning. If you've got a need this morning, just raise your hand to God and say, Lord, I want you to just meet that need this morning. Just believe that He's right here now, He can meet that need. Just where you're sat, just receive it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as the hands go up, Lord, as the hearts are lifted to You, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God, grant it, Lord. Still the storm in lives this morning, Jesus. Father. Oh, be with Your people. Lord, heal every sick body, Lord. Meet every need, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, give the Holy Ghost to those who need that experience, Father, of being truly born again.
Yes.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Your presence is with us now, Father, as we feel that gentle presence just dropping down in this little service today. God, we thank Thee, oh God. Lord, would You minister to Your children? Would You minister to everyone, Father, in divine presence, Lord? Let sickness go in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Let disease flee in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the spirit of depression go in the name of Jesus Christ. Let that demon of fear leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Let that enemy take flight in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, as Your people, help us to shake ourselves, God. Just one more time, oh God. Help us, as it were, to stand between those pillars, Lord. Lord, the Old and New Testament, Lord. And to lean upon Your promises, God.
Hallelujah.
With all our might, Father, to believe Your word. To trust You, Lord. To stand upon that promise, oh God. Lord, grant it, I pray, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh Lord, fill these cups this morning. Come and quench this thirsting of our soul, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, that spirit of guilt, let it go in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, oh, we give You praise. We praise and bless Your holy name. Lord, I pray, God, that remove every block, every hindrance before people that are seeking the Holy Ghost. Lord, there is a block before some here this morning, Lord. This made that experience almost impossible to them. Let them see that the promise is for them and for their children. For as many as the Lord our God shall call. But it's not something they have to do, Lord. But they simply have to come to You on the basis of Your word. That we come with our own nothingness. We come with our own emptiness, Lord. Our own nothing of ourself, but Lord, just what Your promise is, Lord. Just upon Your words. And that we claim the promise of God. And we give You thanks in Jesus' name. That Lord, that promise is mine. But Lord, we are accepted this morning. We are accepted in the Beloved. Father, not what we have done, because You made us accepted, Lord. You have done it, Lord. You've done that work. So before You we come. And Lord, lay a hold of every promise of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, grant it. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord.
the Lord. Praise God. I really believe the Lord spoke this morning to many of our hearts. And you know, I've had the same experience this morning as I had last week, right at the front. I'm not making it up, I'm telling you the truth. And the Holy Spirit said to me this morning, I'm going to speak expressly this morning. I don't even know what the word exactly means, but that's what the Lord said. I'll speak expressly this morning. God's going to answer a lot of people what they've been praying about, worrying about, even myself, and the Lord's done it. What our brothers preached from the word of the Lord. And we've had a lot of meetings this year, and maybe some people thought, maybe even myself, well, bringing a brother over again, but I felt it was off the Lord. I really felt it was off the Lord to have a brother Andrew come, and I believe God's spoken. And it's so true what our brothers preached. It's our choice. Simple word. And this is deep, you know. God has spoke here. And people can be doing things and you're going your own way. And God doesn't want you to go your own way. He wants you to go His way. Amen. His way. And the Lord's way is the best way. And when we go the Lord's way, the storms stop. I thought that was powerful this morning. And I'm not going to talk. I want us to come again tonight. I want us to be in prayer for the service tonight. I'm under expectation. The Lord spoke to a lot of people here this morning. I know that. I believe that with all my heart. About many different things. God's given you your answer. You have already had your answer. The Lord has answered you. And you believe it. I want you to believe it as an answer from God.
Yes,
I want you to believe it. And just them words what a brother said. You believe now there's going to be a change. There's a change now.
Yes.
Because in the Bible there was a change brought about. And there's nothing you have to do. What's been done, God will bring the change. Praise God. The Lord bless each one. Pray for brother for this evening. Come under expectation tonight. There's other people that's not here, but they should have been here. Now I know that. I tried myself to get, there's a few people that wanted to come. This was a word for them as well, but the devil seemed to it they didn't get here. I believe that. But we need to see to it as believers that we pray against that.
Yes.
That God will break that. And that they'll be released.
Jesus.
And the Lord will be able to bring them back on track. Amen. Prayer works. So Brother Gary's going to come. And the Lord bless you, Andrew, and God bless each one of you. Encouraged?
Amen.
Praise God. It's a word from the Lord, but I'm encouraged. It's a real word from the Lord. And many times, even as a pastor, a preacher, you want to be somewhere else and do different things. But look what God said. You have to be where the Lord wants you. All the things could look beautiful. Far away fields look green. But is it God's will? How many people came offering in England in different places? Brother Ron Borthwick asked a few brothers one time I was there. He said, did the Lord send you? Did the Lord really send you? And before you know it, they're not even in church. They're not even serving God. They're gone. Well, I couldn't serve God there. If you can't serve God where you are, you'll serve Him nowhere. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord wants us to serve Him right where we are.
Amen.
Then if He takes us further, praise His name. God bless you, brothers, you come. God bless each one.
When the Lord bless you, I'm just going to leave us to sing this chorus. Let the Lord have His way in your life every day. The Lord bless you. We'll see you this evening at 6 o'clock.